righteousness is his behavior or his act appropriate to this peculiar relationship between him and his people, Israel.
Relationship.
Ever God act which is in this, that is righteousness. For Israel can act in asking for God's deliverance. However, Israel can do this only so long as she fulfills the demands which this covenant relationship imposes upon her. In other words, so long as she acknowledges the lordship of Yahweh and trusts in him, so long as Israel trusts in God, then they can appeal to God, say, okay, God, we are in covenant relationship, therefore you ought to save me. That is your faithfulness. Okay, now so long as she does this, so long as Israel is faithful to God and trust God, she is righteous, even though she may not be sinless. Okay, this of course indicates that fundamentally righteousness is not ethical perfection or sinlessness. Fundamentally, it is relational. Okay, now where here? Okay. This is so because the covenant relationship of grace is more fundamental than the law. Whenever Israel denies Yahweh's lordship, that is, when Israel does not trust in Yahweh, when she does not fulfill the demands of the covenant relationship, she is punished, rejected, and forsaken. Okay? Now, since, however, God is an ethical being, the right relationship with him will demand ethical integrity on the part of those who are in covenant relationship with him. Basically, it's relational. We are in right relationship with God. But since God is ethical pure, therefore it is impossible for us to be in right relationship with God without being ethical pure. Therefore, the ethical purity is secondary in this sense. Right? Okay. Therefore, righteousness comes to assume ethical significance because of this. The meaning of righteousness as ethical integrity is decisively secondary and comes into picture because God is an ethical being. Now, if God were not ethical being, we can be righteous. We may be in right relationship with God without being ethical pure, because he doesn't care if God were that way. But since God is ethical pure, therefore, in right relationship with him will demand our ethical purity. Is that clear? So this is the concept of righteousness in the Old Testament. Now, let's put this back into the Epistle of Romans and see what kind of sense that makes. Righteousness, okay, let me put it this way. Righteousness, okay, is basically, okay, let me summarize it this way. Righteousness is basically relational, is right relationship. So righteousness is right relationship and the behavior appropriate to this right relationship. That's all. Righteousness is the right relationship and the behavior or act appropriate to this right relationship. That is mean. Yes. What? Ethical being. Okay. Ethical being means that Tao Te. Do you know what Tao Te? Lun Li Tao Te. Okay. Ethical means that okay, a person is God. God is concerned about ethical purity. 就是说神会关心我们会不会犯罪的问题，就是我们犯罪，神就不高兴。 OK， 神不能够忍受罪。So what do you mean by ethical being is that way? OK, let me use an example here. Probably by this time you know that 我很喜欢做 research， 很喜欢念书，很喜欢做 research。 那我刚刚结婚的时候啊， 我们住在一个 we live in one room up efficient apartment， really about half of this room, and we live there, we sleep there, we do everything there. There's only one room, no study, nothing there. Of course, sometimes I went to library, but sometimes even from library I brought back a lot of books. And later on, of course, in that one room apartment, finally I end up with put all these bookshelves around the room. I'm like, oh, it tried to kill me, but could not. But that's not a problem. Well, so long as I put a book in Hensenchi, that didn't cause much trouble. But the trouble is, I like to study at home sometimes, and when I do research, well, I put all the book around and just scatter around 10 books or so. When you do research, you do that. You will check out the concordance, etc., and just like this. And that bothered her greatly. She couldn't take it. She had everything has to be in a proper place, etc. So the first year, well, many times I just don't finish the study, and I say, well, I probably go to school to check mail. I went out, and when I come back, all the books are all put up and put on in a bookshelf. I come back and probably have to spend 1 hour to turn to where I want and organize the way I want. Another way is going on many times. Okay. And later on, of course, in order for me to be stay in good relations with her, even though it caused a lot of inconvenience on my part and waste a lot of my time, but finally I learned. I told her, I made some kind of promise. Okay, if I go out just for 10 minutes, don't bother it. Don't touch my book, please. And if I go out for whole half a day, I promise, I put everything back and put in a shell. See, that's the way. See, because that's her nature. That's the way she functions. So in order to be in good relations, unless I say, well, we divorce, then that's another story. But if I want to be in good relations with her, I have to do what she wants, right? So that's the reason why when she, now, of course, we move to where we are now, so I have my own study, which is about this big, or larger than this one. And then I put all my book in a bookshelf. So she doesn't come to bother me. I just lock it up and say, okay, this is my territory. You don't come here. But so that's sort of our problem, that way. But what I'm illustrating is that, well, if you want to be in a good relationship with her, you cannot do what she doesn't want, even though it's cost my time. See, sometimes I have to spend about 10 hours. When you have about 10 or 15 books, you just turn to the right place for the proper research. You put them up, and to bring it out probably waste about 30 minutes. But I have to do it in order that I can keep a good relationship with her. Same way, God cannot withstand sin. Therefore, we cannot say, I'm in good relation with God and commit sin. Impossible. That's the reason why I begin to say, therefore, righteousness secondary means our righteous conduct is because we are in good relationship with God. You cannot do something else. I talk too much, but is that clear? Then let's come to Epistle Romans. Then, Epistle Romans make much sense now with what is said here. Okay. I mean, that's too much. This time we don't need so far, so let me. Now, Romans 1:18 say, the gospel, this is a presentation of the gospel. In it, this is the power of God unto salvation, right? First to Jew and Gentile, etc. In it the righteousness of God is manifested. How? It's talk about, okay, God condemned sinners. Because we look at this, the righteousness of God will condemn sin, right? For what? For the righteousness of God extends the judgment to unrighteous ones. Who are the unrighteous ones? Those who would not trust God. So, righteousness of God manifests as condemnation for sinners, for those who are not trusting God. Here, the righteousness of God extends favor, salvation, to the righteous ones. And who are the righteous ones? Namely, those who trust in Him. Therefore, here, see, the righteousness of God manifested in salvation, extends salvation for those who trust in Him. Right? Now, also, we see, since God is ethical being, so those who are in right relationship with God have to have ethical purity. Right? So here, the righteousness of God is expressed through this, namely, we believers who are in relationship with God has to have ethical purity, but this is not purity on our own power. I said the other day, in it, because of Romans 1:16 or 18, I think, 16 or 17, the gospel, this is the power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because this is the power of God, right? And also, later on, talk about, okay, let me read that place, because that's important. Namely, the righteousness of God and the power of God are related. So this is related in this way, namely here, 6 to chapter 6, 7, 8. Namely, that since we are in good relationship with God, and God is ethical pure, therefore our life has to be ethical pure. But this is not merely relied upon our own power only, because the righteousness of God and the power of God are related. The power of God will make us pure in our ethical life. Righteousness of God manifests in this way, right? Now, righteousness of God is God's faithfulness to His promise. And God promised He's going to save Israel, therefore the Israel will be saved, right? Now, the righteousness refers to actual righteous act. Therefore, this is a manifestation of the righteousness in our daily living. So, righteousness of God, after we understand the way we talk about it, the gospel really is the proper manifestation of the righteousness of God. This whole epistle to the Romans makes good sense. Otherwise, as I said, I had difficulty understanding the epistle of Romans about 10, 15 years ago before I discovered the meaning of righteousness. Is that clear? So, Bible study, the kind of thing I'm talking about, Bible study is very, very exciting. My only regret is that this time we didn't have much time for you to do your practical practice, to give you some more assignment for you to do. If you have done that, it will excite you, and really, it's very exciting. Everything fit together here. So, we will take a break now, go to eat lunch, and we meet. We'll talk about all these steps and apply that to one particular passage, to try to interpret a particular passage. And probably we'll do that for the first part of this afternoon. And then, before you go, or before we dismiss, let's gather around. I may make some mention about the assignment I gave you last night, and I see how this, from some of the things we talk about, how this will help us in understanding the passage. So, the passage I'd like to talk about this afternoon is this. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, to begin with, we need to look at some historical background first. Now, this is the conversation between a Samaritan woman and Jesus. Maybe we can read the immediate context a little bit. Let me just read the earlier portion here. John 4. Let's read from... Well, let me mention a little bit, and then I read when it's appropriate. Of course, Jesus, on his way from Jerusalem to Galilee, he went through Samaria. And one day, under the hot sun, he came to near the well. And over there, one lady came out to draw the water. So Jesus asked her, say, well, can you give me some water to drink?
Now this lady was very antagonistic. She said, well, how come you, a Jew, a man, a Jewish man, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for water to drink? He said, do not know what the real situation is. She was antagonistic. Then Jesus said, well, if you had known the gift of God and whom, and the person who is speaking to you, you would have requested a living water, and I would have given you a living water. And lady said, well, that's great. Why don't you give me some? Jesus said, well, go to call your husband. And she said, well, I don't have any husband at all. Jesus said, well, good. What you say is true. You have had 5 husbands in the past, but now you are living with a guy who is not your husband. So the attitude of the lady changed greatly. Okay. And then verse 19. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Now, verse 20. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship God, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jew. But the hour is coming, now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, this is the whole passage. But we will concentrate our thinking on those two verses. To begin with, the woman said, well, our father worship on this mountain, and you Jew worship in Jerusalem. Now, when this woman said that we worship, our father worship on this mountain, what is was she talking about? We need to know a little bit the background, historical background of this conversation. Therefore, let me share with you a little bit the historical background here. Well, of course, under King Saul and David and Solomon, the entire nation of Israel were united kingdom, right? They are only one kingdom. But after the death of Solomon, the nation of Israel was divided into two parts. One is in south, which consists of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. 犹大跟便雅悯两个支派是南部的一个国。 Now the rest of the 10 tribes become one new nation of Israel. Now in the south, they have their capital in Jerusalem, and the northern kingdom has their capital in Samaria. Now, somewhere in about 7th century, I think. Well, these two nations, namely Israel and Judah, both, they disobey God. So first, the nation of Israel was destroyed by Assyria. 阿苏国, 把以色列国, 王国掉了. And then, of course, Assyria took away the people of Israel and took them away to some faraway country, and they brought in some foreigners to live in Palestine, in the place where Israel was. Now those people, the poor people who were not deported, namely some poor Jewish people who were left over in Israel, and those foreigners who were brought in by Assyria to populate, to live in this countryside, they get married together. They had a mixed marriage. So the descendants of this kind of mixed marriage are the Samaritans. Okay. Now, somewhere in the late 7th century, now the southern kingdom, Judah, was also destroyed, and the people were taken away to Babylon. And of course, over there, stayed there about 70 years, these people returned to Judah. When they returned to Judah, they wanted to rebuild the temple of God, and they wanted to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. When they are about to rebuild the temple of God in Jerusalem, these Samaritans, namely the descendants, the children of this mixed marriage between Israel and the foreigners, came and said, "Well, we help you, because we also worship the same God, Yahweh, same God, so we worship. We will help you build the temple. Now, these Jewish people say, "No, you are not qualified to participate in our rebuilding of the temple, because you are not pure blood. You are the mixture. Okay, you are the descendants of the intermarriage. You are not qualified." So they refused to let the Samaritan help them build the temple. As a result, they enter into war. You can read this history in the Nehemiah and all these Old Testament historical books. They have some kind. They enter into they have the war at the time. Now also at the time, during this intertestamental period, there was a Jerusalem priest, a priest in Jerusalem by the name of Manasseh, who married Nicaso, daughter of Sambarat. Sambarat was the governor of Samaritans. Another time, the Jewish people in Jerusalem forced Manasseh to divorce Nicaso. They said, "You ought to divorce her. Otherwise, we will not let you become the priest." But Manasseh said, "No, I'm not going to divorce my wife. I love her." So Manasseh took his wife, Nicaso, and went to see Sambarat in Samaria. And of course, Sambarat was moved by loyalty of his son-in-law to his daughter. So to reward him, Sambarat built a temple on Mount Gerizim and appointed Manasseh as a high priest. Okay, that is the origin of Samaritan of the temple in Samaria. Now, this temple was later on destroyed by Hyrcanus. Namely, later on it was destroyed by some priest from Jerusalem. So when this lady, this Samaritan woman, was talking to Jesus that the temple of Mount Gerizim has been destroyed, yet the ancestor of Samaritan still insisted, "We owe to worship God on this mountain, namely on Mount Gerizim." So when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, they were talking near this mountain. So she said, "Well, our father worship on this mountain, Mount Gerizim. You do talk about we ought to worship in Jerusalem." So they asked Jesus, "Okay, what is the truth?" And Jesus answered her by saying, and this is a passage, we'd like to look at it. Okay. Now Jesus said, "The hour is coming, now is, when the true worshipper will worship Father in spirit and truth." Now, what does true worshipper, true, mean? What is true? Now, usually when we talk about truth in our concept, of course we have only one concept usually, but there's another concept I talk about later. Well, usually when we talk about truth, the word Jesus used there is the arethinos. The arethinos, worship of God. Now arethinos, if you don't know Greek, I transliterate into English. True worshipper, of course, that one meaning of truth is that true is the opposite of false, right? If it is true, then it is not false. There is one meaning of that. However, there is another meaning. How do we find that another meaning? Let me show you something here. Not this one. John 1:19 says Jesus is a true light.
Okay.
Jesus is a true light. But of course it is in contrasting 比较耶稣跟施洗约翰, is all the contrast between Jesus and John the Baptist. Jesus was a true light, and John the Baptist is what? Is he a false light? Is John the Baptist a false light?
No.
Huh? No, it's not. In John 5:35, says John the Baptist light. Also, Jesus said that. Right? Now let me show you something here too. In John 6:32, Jesus said, okay, it is my Father who gave true bread from heaven. Jesus said, well, I am the true bread. Because the Jews say, well, Moses, God gave bread through Moses for our ancestors, to our ancestors in the wilderness. And Jesus said, I am the true bread. 我是真的什么东西? 中文啊, I forgot how to translate it anyway. 我是生命的粮还是上层的粮来给他, okay, Jesus said, I'm the true bread. Now, 我问各位啊, 以色列人, okay, the bread Israelite ate in wilderness. Is that true bread or false bread? Namely, what I'm asking is, could the bread, namely the manna Israel ate, would that satisfy their hunger? Huh? Yeah, right? Therefore, the bread Israel ate in wilderness were not false bread. But Jesus said, I am the true bread, as compared to the bread Israel ate in the wilderness. What does this mean? Now, Jesus also said in John 15:1, I am the true vine. Of course, implying in the Old Testament, Israel was vine. Now, that Bible makes it very clear. Israel was vine. But compared with Old Testament Israel, Jesus said, I am the true vine. Now, in those three examples, three instances, what is the meaning of true? Is that the opposite of false? So it is not the opposite of false, but something more perfect or more complete. Okay. So when you talk about true, Arethinos, there are two possible meanings. One meaning is that true as opposite of false. Another meaning is, I cannot translate it, so I'm just temporary, or for the time being, I'm using genuine. Now, if you have to understand what I mean by genuine. Genuine is something more perfect, more complete. This is the opposite of less perfect or less complete. Not the opposite of false. Okay? There are two meanings of truth. I am, okay, the true bread, etc. Show you, okay, I did not show you the evidences for first one. Let me show you now. I forgot to show you this. In John 4:37, let's read it. John 4:37. This saying is true. This corresponds to the reality. For here the saying hold true. The true here is the opposite of false, right? This is the opposite of false. Namely, because it corresponds to the fact someone reaps Someone sows and someone reaps. Right? I try to show you even in the context, the meaning of the words here. Now, in John 19:35, John said, "He who sow it has borne witness, and his witness is true." What he's getting at is, his witness is not false, and he knows that he tells the truth, that you also may believe. Now, in this context, what does that mean of true? True as the opposite of false, right? So over here, we see some evidences that true can mean opposite of false. Okay. Then we also seen some evidences, namely the one I showed you a moment ago, this one. True as opposite of not false, but rather less perfect. So true in a sense of more perfect, more complete. Right? Now we see there are two possibilities, the meaning of true. 真正 true 有两个可能的意思。 Now, when we decide on which meaning, the context becomes very important. I show you the meaning of fast, F-A-S-T. You can have the three different meanings depending upon in what context it is. You remember that? The trick I pray. Now, let me ask you this question. I want all of you to think. Look at the context. What is the meaning? What the true worshipper? This. But the hour is coming when the true worshipper will worship the Father. This true here. What is the meaning of true here? Huh?
True.
Genuine? Why?
Because you know more perfect than
huh?
You worshiping for more
knowledge. Well, huh? Opposite of false? Why?
Does that mean the past worshippers are false?
If you use this truth, you're saying that the past are false? I'll ask that, Mr. you, hold your mind.
Opposite to the worship.
Huh? Which one? I think we better think. Look at the context. Now, if you say something, I'm coming to ask you, next question is why? Keep that in mind, because my students in the seminar already know that. Whenever I say anything, the next question, I always ask why, so... Okay. Give evidence to support your conclusion. Okay, that's very important. Give evidence to support your conclusion. What does true worshipper mean here?
These are the one to correct their general conception of the worship. Because they believe their worship, their progress is true, that their worship. But Jesus wants to let them know the actual or true meaning of worship.
Okay, so you're talking about the contrast here is comparing between the true worship with the Samaritan worship. Is that what Jesus is saying? Look at the context. Look at the context.
Before though, you mentioned both the Jews worship and the Samaritan.
Yes, and what? Okay, so what is the contrast then? What is the comparison here?
The Jews know who they're worshipping, and where the Samaritans know what they're worshipping.
Right. Therefore, true here cannot mean opposite or false. If you say true is opposite or false, then you have to say the Jew worship in a false way, right? But Jesus did not say the Jew worship false. Jesus said we Jew worship what we know, right? We worship what we know. You Samaritan worship what you do not know, but we Jew worship what we know. But now I'm going to tell you about the true worship. So the meaning, the true here, cannot mean opposite or false, but rather mean genuine in a sense of more complete, more perfect. Okay? Do you know the reason now? Because this is important. Methodological wise. I'm not merely interested in you get the content. I'm more interested in you get the methodology of thinking. Right? So that means the true worshiper means to worship, the true worshiper here means the more genuine or more complete way, more advanced way of worshiping God. Okay? Now, the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and the truth. Now, that is a question we like to talk. This is very important. Now, what is the meaning of worship in spirit and the truth? Now, our Chinese translation translated 用心灵和诚实敬拜他. Let's see whether this can stand the test, whether this is correct or not. Let's look at a few things here. Now, spirit, pneuma, that word used, Chinese translated that into sinning. Let's see whether it's correct or not. In John 11:33, namely, Lazarus 死掉了. So Jesus and Mary and the friends of Mary and Martha came to the tomb of Lazarus. And when they arrived at the tomb, Mary and those who came with her, the Jew who came with her, they are all weeping. When Jesus saw Mary weeping, and the Jew who came with her also weeping, Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. What is the meaning of spirit here? Sinning, right? In the depth of his being, sinning. So spirit here means in the depth of his being. So in a sense of sinning, yes. Okay, John 11:33, this means sinning. Now, that is the what Chinese translation has it. Chinese translation, 用心灵的诚实敬拜他. Okay, so that's what I mean, sinning. Now, John 13:21. Jesus, this is when Jesus said about, at the Last Supper, I think, Jesus that spoken, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Now over there, Jesus troubled in the spirit. Jesus 心底下很难过. Okay. So the spirit here means a human spirit, or the inner being of man. Therefore, spirit can be used to refer to sinning. Okay. You see that now? Spirit can mean this. Now, the question is this. Let's come back to look at John 4:23-24. But the hour is coming now. The hour is coming, and now is when the more advanced worshipper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Right? We already come to that conclusion thus far. Now, can it mean, can in spirit and truth mean 用心灵 and 诚实敬拜他? Can it mean? Look at the context. Again. Way, in a more complete way, we worship the Father 用心灵 and 诚实敬拜他. Would that make sense? Would that make sense? In that context? Huh? It does. Does it? Huh? Yeah? Would that make sense then? Would that make sense? You think so? Let me ask you. Jesus said, the hour is coming, now is. Now, before this hour, namely, before the hour Jesus is talking about, during the Old Testament period, okay, did the Jewish people have to worship God with sincerity and with their sin being to worship God? Yes. Right? So Jesus said, okay, the hour is coming, now is, we are going to worship God in a more advanced way, in a more complete way. How? Worship as you have been worshiping. Does that make sense? Does that make sense then? It won't. It would not make sense. Right? Jesus talked about, well, come here. From now on, we are talking about we worship God in a more advanced way, in a more in-depth way, in a more more genuine way, more perfect way. Why? Or how? Just as you are doing. Everyone will be disappointed. You give us a big promise and tell us do something. Suppose I come here and say, okay, you come here to take this seminar. And I said, oh, come over here. I will teach you, I will share with you how to do the Bible study in a more advanced way. And when you get here, you took the trouble from Toronto, from everywhere, come up here. And I say, okay, the advanced way of studying the Bible is to ask for Liang Guang, like you have been doing. Probably you will take up the piece and shoot me. He said, you just lie or something, right? That wouldn't make sense. Do you get the point? Jesus said, okay, 来, 所有讲的现今之事, 从今以后, 我们要用更进一步的, 更深一步的方法, 敬拜神, 用什么方法? 跟你们以前敬的, 敬拜神一样方法, 用心灵的成熟。 Nonsense. Right? Therefore, to worship the Father in spirit and truth cannot mean 心灵和成熟。 So unfortunately, on this point, a Chinese translation is totally mistaken. It don't make sense, right? Do you see why I said it doesn't make sense? Do you get a point? Unless you get a point, I'm not going to go any further. It would not make sense here. Okay.
Still in a degree, though the people at
what kind of level you're talking about then?
To advance.
Advance what?
To close to God.
Yeah, in what sense? See, that's a crucial issue.
Yeah. To see the real spirit, real God.
No. Say that again. Real sinning, you use your real sinning worship God?
Yeah. That's it. He gave to that Samaritan woman.
Yeah.
By saying, you said you worship God in this temple, that temple, the mountain. This temple.
Right.
For the real spirit.
Yeah, but the Jew, you know, talking. Okay, let me ask.